Welcome to Education Currents, a show designed to provide current educational news and commentary from a Christian worldview. The greatest resource any community has is its children. And by providing for them the best possible education, we are providing for ourselves and future generations. Join us as we explore the latest social and political issues surrounding education. Here are your hosts, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. I'm here with Dr. Richard Tooley, and we're going to talk about the topic of math. It's one of the disciplines that some people just groan about and other people love. So let's start out, Dr. Tooley. Maybe you have some statistics there you can tell us about why we should talk about this topic.
This topic about math is kind of an interesting one. It's one of the things that you hear from many, many pundits that the United States is falling behind the world in math, and that's not true. In actuality, most of what's going on in the United States is that we are on a par with nations like Finland, Singapore, and even China. So it's not that we're falling dramatically behind, but there is a wide variation among the states. There are some states that are not as good in math and other states that are as good in math. There is also, when you look at how math is being taught, I think that there are some serious issues that need to be addressed, such as when do you move from fundamentals into more sophisticated math, more sophisticated logic that students would normally have to go through. And I think those are some of the issues that are really worth digging into and talking about.
Now, do you think that because we were low in math, that we then had teachers that maybe math wasn't their favorite topic, so they sprouted another generation of people who weren't too interested in math? In other words, is it caused from the environmental education, the whole system, or is it caused from genetics? Maybe we're a nation that just, we are more creative and more left-brained rather than right-brained.
I think part of our problem is we're trying to be like something that isn't really out there. You know, this idea of where do you move children from the fundamentals of mathematics, which are sometimes, in some cases, just rote memory and pretty simple things, to more sophisticated logic, things that in reality their brains aren't even developed yet to understand.
Think back to your first mathematical experience.
Oh, that's an easy one. What's 1 + 1? But probably the most significant mathematical experience for me was learning my times tables. And that wasn't fun.
Yes. Well, in fact, I even share with my students that I really haven't learned my times tables to the extent where I can just rotely speed them off. In other words, they're still in the cognitive part of my brain. And I find that fascinating because, of course, I am a math professor on the collegiate level, but it's in the abstract, you know, with algebra and geometry, and not so much that those arithmetic skills of the math fact families didn't make any sense to me. And, you know, I just didn't waste too many brain cells memorizing it.
I, on the other hand, wanted to go out to play night. And so I just buckled down and memorized those things. And once I had them memorized, then much of the math that we go through, particularly through the middle school years, is significantly wrapped up, especially in the multiplication tables. The ability to add and subtract, those pretty much make sense to anybody from first grade on up once they begin to get the idea. But multiplication tables, they're not an abstract thought.
Mm-hmm.
Multiplication tables are simply something that you memorize. And I think sometimes we get too involved in trying to help students understand the reasoning behind multiplication, for example, the deeper ethereal part of it, as opposed to saying, look, here's times tables, start writing them out and get them memorized. Because once you rote memorize those things, then other math problems become much simpler to do, like long division becomes easier to do. And multiplying larger numbers, 2 and 3 digit numbers, and estimating becomes much easier. Everything that has to go on with math through the middle school becomes much easier if you have learned your multiplication tables by just rote memory, if you have to.
Yeah, I was teaching percentage the other day, and so we start out very simple, maybe 10 squares and 3 of them are shaded. And so there you have the 10 holes, and you put 3 that are shaded on the top, and you have a fraction now, 3/10. And then how do you convert that? Well, let's take 5/10, because in these particular problems, then I could go back and say, okay, what's the greatest common factor of 5 and 10? And it's like this glassy stare. Even though I know just a few weeks ago, we were working hard at what a greatest common factor was and what the least common multiple was. And so I think if a teacher or a home educator can connect back to what was previously learned and tie it into what is learning and be excited about it. I go, isn't this great? We've learned all these tools and now we have words for them. And so instead of, you know, sitting there and thinking, okay, now how do I convert this 5/10 into decimal or into a percentage? I'm halfway there. And then, of course, I always like to say, work smarter, not harder. And I said, is there any way you can just, what could you multiply both 10 and 5? And you'd have 100 on the bottom, you know, 50, you multiply both by, you'd have 50 hundredths. And I said, and percent means 100. So there you have it, 50%.
Yes, we run into some of the same things. You know, I've run into it with some of the younger kids. When you start working with, you know, the third and fourth, fifth grade students. And so you start out with, okay, here's your multiplication, say 5 times 9. Okay, well, they can do that. 5 times 9, well, that's 45. If they have it memorized, they've got it. But what happens then is I put up there 500 times 9.
Yeah.
And they laboriously work through the long process of multiplying all those zeros and then adding up that whole thing. Where you could move them and say, look, you know, if you look up at the top of the formula and you see those zeros, just do 5 times 9 and then put the zeros on the end. That doesn't register real quick with them. Part of it, I think, is because the multiplication doesn't register with them real quick. So you can sit there and you say, well, so what's 5 times 9? Oh, it's 45. Well, what's 500 times 9? 900. They just totally lost it. And I think that has a lot to do with their multiplying. Now, I see some of the kids, they're using their fingers to do multiplication. There's, you know,
some tricks, yeah.
And I don't know that I'm in favor of those tricks necessarily. Especially through either 12 or 15, just rote memory of those times tables will serve them so much better, knowing those times tables by rote. So they can work backward from it. You know, if I give them 72 and I have 8 out here, then what's the other part of 72 and 8? Well, you know, 9.
And that's, when we say rote, we're talking about moving those, that information into the associative part of the brain. It almost becomes as automatic as breathing or responding to some kind of stimuli. If the ball's thrown at you, you dodge it or you catch it. And we want the multiplication tables to become in that associative part of the brain where it now is so well learned. In the cognitive part, then that's where you have the time lapse. They have to still think it through. They might have to do the little tricks with their fingers and that kind of stuff. But we want it to get into that associative part of the brain where it's very quick. You can very quickly draw that information out.
Yeah, because it's not rocket science. Multiplication tables are not rocket science. It is simply an association between that number equals that number. And it's a rote memory thing. And you think about it, in most math, you know, you take someone who's doing long division, or somebody who's doing more complex equations, or somebody who's factoring a number all the way out. Okay, if you're doing long division, you've got to multiply. You can't. You've got to multiply, add, subtract. You got to do all of them in a long division problem. And every time you have a step that they have to go through, and it's working in the cognitive part of their brain, it slows down the process.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can take what is the biggest chunk of that, and that's the multiplication tables, and you move that into another part of the brain that says, oh, that number, that number, mm-hmm. that number, I recognize those right away. Boom, I got that. Then you have reduced the number of steps that have to go on in the cognitive part of the brain to solve the equation.
Yes.
So things will speed up for them, and they then they have the capacity actually to learn and develop the cognitive part of the brain without having this chunk that's not really cognitive in its own right sitting there.
Yeah, parents could do so much to help their children by drilling the multiplication tables. Start in the second grade. There's no, you know, you can start as soon as your child's ready. Start memorizing the multiplication tables.
Yes. It, you know, that's the funny thing, because when you are memorizing, you can memorize anything. We have young people who are memorizing poems. They memorize lots of things.
Mm-hmm.
That's the easy part of the brain to work with. The cognitive part of the brain takes more time to develop. The whole logic and reasoning thing doesn't really fully develop in people until 27, 28, 20, right in that
yeah.
year, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So if you understand that, you could start someone in the first grade memorizing multiplication tables. And they don't have to memorize all the way up to 15 right then, because it's a lot of work that you're putting them
yeah.
under. But start them on the process.
Well, we have to take a break right here, but when we come back, we'll talk about more strategies for improving your mathematical abilities. We'll be right back. Like a little child. Studies on the early experiences of infants and toddlers with the natural world have been positively linked with the development of imagination and the sense of wonder. This sense of wonder leads to an appreciation of creation and ultimately to an understanding of the nature of man and his relationship to God. It's through wonder and the imagination that the child becomes a lifelong learner. For more information, go to educationcurrents.org. Hi, I'm Dr. Rose Gamblin, and I come to you each week through the programs of Education Currents and Homeschool Companion, and I'm so blessed to be part of MRG Media Radio Ministry, and I'm giving you the opportunity to be part of it too. We can't stay on the air without your financial support, so take a moment right now during our fundraiser to call you with a gift of any size. As a token of my appreciation for your gift, I have a gift for you, so be sure you call. And my gifts consist of books from different guests that I've had on the show and different topics that I've done. And I also have some books that I've written that I've autographed for you. So be sure and call us, 301-824-3162. That's 301-824-3162. Or write to MRG Media at P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783. That's P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783. Welcome back. You're listening to Education Currents. I'm Dr. Rose Gamblin, and with me is Dr. Richard Tooley, and we both are actively teaching. We teach the upper grades at Baltimore White Marsh Adventist School, and we just love it when the light bulbs come on for our students.
Yeah, I can hear some light bulbs going on right now.
We like it when we have that aha moment, and math seems to be a subject that, at least in as the kids get older, they build up a resistance to it. I like every other subject, but math, you know. So we have spent our whole year trying to make math fun, engaging, and at the same time, we see our students really feeling proud of what they've accomplished. And I'm going to briefly talk a little bit about what we're doing in the classroom that you could be doing, you know, if you were a homeschooling parent, you could do it at home. But we do, not only do we have kind of our set curriculum, the books and things that a traditional school has, but we like to present it or give the instruction in a varied ways. We use document cameras so that, and then we place the students so they're demonstrating their work. And we can be moving about the cabin, so to speak, looking at what other students might do. And then those students also, they love to take turns with their work under the document camera. We also have a computer-enhanced element. So it's Alex that we use. There's Dreambox. There's some other ones, I'm sure, too, but those two are my favorite. So that a student can go on the computer at home or at school when they get their work done and, again, have some reinforcement going there. And Dr. Tooley is currently teaching the math to the fourth and fifth graders. And they have kind of thrown down a gauntlet to my sixth, seventh, and eighth graders. And that is, I don't know exactly what you called it, but it has to do with memorizing the multiplication tables. And it really has gotten my students, I mean, they're practicing in their spare time the multiplication tables. It's really cool to see middle school children so excited about learning the multiplication tables.
Yes, and what, you know, just to step back just a second on some of these things, I have a real bone to pick with the idea that we always have to work on developing the cognitive system so hard. Mm-hmm. Where if we can get fundamentals down, I'm a firm believer in Kolb's learning cycle, and that's where fundamentals start.
Mm-hmm.
You teach them some theory, then they put that theory into practice. They learn from that, develop new theories, put that into practice, and it's a cycle that goes on. And that kind of works that way, because what we start with, mathematics is fun as a game. You know, if you can develop
yes.
games where they're having fun learning it, and it really does force them to study hard. When I first approached this math, the multiplication tables with them, I did what was the ultimate boring thing for them, but I felt it was necessary. I said, I want you to build your own multiplication chart. Don't use anything else out there. You sit down and you make your own multiplication chart. And I actually had them do that two or three times. Well, you know, when you write something down, people remember what they write mm-hmm. down better. So when I'd have them build that chart, it would help them remember that. Well, then the next thing we would do is we would start playing some flashcard drills. And we did it in several different ways. You start out with team play.
Mm-hmm.
And you do it slow. You know, you set up your two teams there. And I let them work as groups at the very beginning. So it's kind of like Family Feud. On one side you have mm-hmm. one team one, and the other side's team two. And you'd hold up a flashcard for team one, and you'd say, all right, come up with what the answer is, and you can ask your teammates for it. Once they had shown progress in that area, then we began to become a little more sophisticated in it. We would change up the game. We would have it be individual competition, all of them going at once. Of course, that gets a little loud. And then there's other games that we began to play where we would cycle them through. They had to come up and say that. And then we started doing, once they got to a certain level of proficiency, we started doing timed trials. We'd say, I'm going to give you 5 seconds to answer it, and then move it down to 3 seconds to answer. And so we began to put together some of these games, and now we're going to move into the next step is going to be an around-the-world game where they
now,
move through.
In my classroom, you know, we're working with algebra, pre-algebra, and we would hear 1, 3, 8. You know, we'd hear these numbers being yelled out, and pretty soon my kids would just yell out numbers. You know, they would just kind of mimic what they were hearing. And they finally they go, Dr. Young, what are they doing? I said, they're preparing to beat you at multiplication. And when I said that, then as soon as they would get their work done, they would start quizzing each other on the multiplication, because it hasn't happened yet. But, you know, we've been on multiplication a long time. Do you have some other strategies to share with our listeners to help increase our mathematical sense?
Well, what
thinking
I did,
mathematically.
Yeah. Now, what you want to do is start with the basics, which we've already talked mm-hmm. about. I have done some other things with those basics. For instance, I would set them up to do the times tables, and just before we would get into the times tables, I would go up to the whiteboard and I would write out a division problem, a whole series of division problems up there. And after we had gone through learning this stuff, I would say to them, okay, I am throwing out a challenge to one of you here. I'm going to give you 30 seconds to solve the 10 problems that I've written up on the board. And what they were is, here was 64 divided by 8.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then I would come down to a number like 49. And I would just put 49 there. And I wouldn't put what the other two numbers were. So I'd have all these numbers up, which were in the multiplication tables, but they were now the division part of it.
Yes.
So I would run them through that. And at the same time, then I might put out something like 500 times 9. And I would say, remember, that's no different. If you take a look at the two zeros, it's no different. You have 5 times. So I would try to get some cognitive thinking in here that would use that associative part of the brain and say, well, 5 times 9, well, I can relate, because if I just take those two zeros and drop them down, I've got it. So we began to do some of those other things. We have those other things that are going on at the same time. But when you go through this, part of the issue that you always face is are you working for mastery? And this is why I focus so hard on the multiplication tables. Mastering the multiplication tables. Mastery.
Yes.
So the first step, I'd say, you have to focus on mastery. Learn those. And then the second step is what I had mentioned, where I would put up some problems for them.
Mm-hmm.
Doing the problems. So that you do problems, that builds confidence.
Yes.
That they can do this. And it's in that Kolb's learning mm-hmm. cycle. So they get mastery of something that is a theoretical thing until they actually begin to do the work on paper.
Yeah, I'm going to conclude the show with part of that learning cycle, and that is the question of, why do we have to do math? Why algebra? And I remind my students over and over again that the very elemental component of design is math, and that the designer God is has taken that language, and it just gives us a little glimpse into how magnificent he is as the designer. And when I remind my students about it, I can see that many of them do then have the answer to, why do we have to learn math? And with that being said, we've come to the end of our show. I know you have other strategies to give us, and that can be for another show. Thank you so much for being here and being my co-host. And we have one last thing to say to our guests, and that is
keep learning.
You have been listening to Education Currents, a production of MRG Media Ministries. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.